Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. If there's one thing that I've noticed over the last 10 years of running Breakthrough Academy is that contractors kind of suck at marketing, and fair enough, it's not really what you got into business for. It's easy to overcomplicate, it's kind of confusing, and if we're really honest, there's a lot of bad advice out there and it's hard to weed through it all. Well, today, one of the top minds in marketing is here to help us simplify our marketing message and drive better results. Dr. JJ Peterson, the head of StoryBrand. Dr. JJ has helped thousands of businesses clarify their message and skyrocket their growth. He co-authored Wall Street Journal's bestseller, Marketing Made Simple, alongside Donald Miller, which sold over 1 million copies worldwide. Plus, I found out while preparing with him that he actually has a contracting background. His family ran a concrete business while he was growing up, and he really gets the challenges that you all are facing. In fact, he wanted to come on the show, I think, for that exact reason. So today's conversation, it's all about how to apply the 7 parts of the StoryBrand framework to a contracting business. And to help even further with this, he gave us a free simple tool that you can use to help your marketing message to stand out from the crowd. It's in the description, so make sure you check it out and download it. Without further ado, though, let's get started with Dr. JJ. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Dr. JJ, thank you for coming on to our show. I'm stoked to have you. Welcome. Welcome to Contractor Evolution.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much.
We were just chatting a second ago, and I thought it was kind of funny. I thought I'd bring this up again, but we were chatting about your background. Curious to know, obviously, how you even got here running StoryBrand. There's a lot to it. But you had mentioned that you also have a lot of experience in this industry, in the contracting space. I thought that was interesting. We want to start there?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, I'm what's known now as like a writer and a speaker and not somebody that you usually see doing manual labor. But at least anymore, nobody looks at me and goes, yeah, he's a construction guy. But what's funny is I actually come, my entire family is in the construction space and specifically cement contracting. So my great grandpa and my grandpa both owned cement contracting businesses, which meant then all of my uncles were involved as well, including my dad. And then my dad, who eventually became a pastor, also ran a side business for cement contracting, which meant me and all of my brothers did too. And so I grew up, especially in Oregon, which is the best time to pour cements because it's not like pouring rain, all summer, basically pouring driveways and mailbox stands and, you know, garage floors and everything you can imagine. And I then was able to later, my first job out of college was actually doing public relations for a nonprofit that built homes in Mexico. And that's where I started learning how to do marketing on a professional level. But also, I was like, you guys, I can also pour floors. And so I would actually go down to Mexico and I would pour the floors for a lot of these houses and teach people how to do contract work while I was there. And they, same thing, they hired me to create a website and write emails. And they're like, wait a minute, you pour cement? And I'm like, yeah, I can hand mix it and everything. So let's do it.
Whatever you need, I got you.
Yeah. So I know this world well. And I know, you know, just even beyond the specific like construction and contracting space, but also, you know, people who are building businesses and starting things out and then really taking them to the next level. Cause, you know, even like my dad and my brother, both incredible contractors. And then as they were building their business continued to grow. And now they became business owners, which they didn't really plan on doing to begin with. They just planned on being really good with cement. And as their reputations grew, so did their business. And now they're managing employees. And now they're having to figure out, how do I get more leads so that I can actually pay these employees and reach more people? And so this is part of why I'm really excited to be here with you, is because this is my world. This is my family's world. And then what I've done kind of in that is, you know, I mentioned my dad, you know, was a pastor. And not only, you know, did he teach me how to pour cement, but from a very young age, I could watch my dad kind of own a room with story. He was an incredible storyteller. In fact, when we would go on road trips, we didn't listen to music. We listened to storytellers in the car. My dad actually would make us listen to Garrison Keillor, and we would hear stories. And that was really what I grew up with. And I just kind of was fascinated with stories. And through the years, I went and I got my undergrad degree in communication and specifically public relations, learning how to tell stories of organizations and corporations. And then I actually went back to school and got my master's in theology and the arts. So how to use the power of story to influence and change people's minds in art and television and film. And then ultimately went back and got my PhD in narrative theory, narrative communications. And this time it was more specific to narrative marketing. How do you invite people into a beautiful story through your marketing? And that's just kind of been my trajectory. And so for the past now about 13 years, I've been helping companies and entrepreneurs all over the world clarify their message, their marketing message, using the power of story to really reach more customers, grow their business. And what we really do is help them invite customers into a beautiful story where the customer's the hero and the company is their guide.
Unreal. So you are probably the best person we could possibly have this on the show when it comes to helping a contractor position their messaging in the marketplace. Unreal.
It feels like it. It feels like it. It's kind of, I know I just said a lot, but normally I don't tell the contracting side of my story when I'm on other podcasts, but this genuinely is like, this was my childhood and this is, you know, what my family did. So it's kind of funny.
Dude, it's meant to be. So let's talk about that. So you're involved with Donald Miller now. You run the show at StoryBrand. Like, tell us a bit about what you're doing today.
So what we're doing today is just what I mentioned, is so many companies, especially when they're growing companies, are struggling to connect with their customers. Because in some ways, like, the more success you have, the more your message starts to change. Because when you first started out, you were like, I am this. And you told your neighbors and your friends and you got the people you needed to join you in business. Then you start to grow and you have to figure out, how do I tell this story in a way that goes beyond my circle of friends? How do I tell it on a website? How do I tell it in emails? How do I tell it on social media, at conferences? And it starts getting bigger and bigger, and you start experimenting and saying it different ways. And what ends up happening in those moments is you're so close to your product and service that you think you're telling a clear message. And the reality is you're not. And you're probably putting in too much information. You're confusing customers. You're not getting to the point quick enough. And ultimately, because of that, you're losing customers. And this happens all over the place. So many companies are wasting millions of dollars every year on marketing that just doesn't connect with people. And so what we do at StoryBrand is we actually come in and we work with you, like work with companies and individuals, helping them clarify their message using a story framework, using the power of story, and teach them how to do that in a way that they can actually connect with more customers and keep growing.
And why is that? Like, because there's so many ways, there's so many books and people that talk about marketing and so many different facets of how to do it. And you can go down all kinds of rabbit holes. But I agree with you. Like, our brand actually was positioned around some of the things we learned in StoryBrand. And why is storytelling, in your opinion, so powerful when it comes to marketing messaging?
Well, you know, I'm going to get a little nerdy here on story, because I know your listeners can handle this, that you have, you know, some very, obviously very intelligent and probably a little bit nerdy people as well, even though they're in that construction space. But the idea that there's a principle in communication studies called narrative transportation. And there's all this research behind that if we can see ourselves in a story, so if we're watching a movie and we can see ourselves in that story, we experience what's called narrative transportation. So if you've ever been in a movie and you've jumped when something scary happens or laughed when something funny happened, you've experienced narrative transportation. A part of you has been placed in that story. Well, the research shows that the better the story, the more narrative transportation you experience. The more narrative transportation you experience, the more influence that story has on your thoughts and actions. So the better the story, the more we see ourselves in the story, the more the story actually changes us. So this is kind of, the research shows this. And what it really leans back into is the idea that story, when told well, when a story is told well, it really is what we call a sense-making device. So if I want to tell you a story, like if I want to say to you, like, hey, I want to, if I want to say to you, hey, we really help companies grow their business. And you're like, okay, how? And I go, well, let me tell you about when I worked with Microsoft. And I actually, and I don't like give you all these facts. I walk you through a series of important pieces of information that I'm telling you to help you make sense of the facts. Aristotle and Plato really were the ones way back in the day that really helped people understand the power of story. And they would argue that if you tell a good story, it is the most powerful way to change people's thoughts and actions. And that's kind of been proven over and over all the way through. So story reflects our personal lives. We live our life. We make sense of our own lives in stories. Therefore, we know how stories work. And when we encounter a good story, it helps us make sense of what we're hearing and understanding. So it's kind of a long explanation, but the reality is we think in story because that's the way we live. When we encounter good stories, the research shows that that story has incredible influence over us, and it helps us make sense of what's being put in front of us.
It's primal. It's a part of how our brains have been designed to work. It probably goes back to the telling stories about the cougar that tried to eat our kids over the fire when we were living in caves.
Exactly. And what it comes down to as well, so now let's kind of put this in the context of marketing and messaging in particular, okay? The average person receives between 3,000 to 5,000 commercial messages a day. Whether we recognize that or not, that's how often. In fact, some people would say now it's even higher. But the average person receives between 3,000 to 5,000 commercial messages a day. Also, we are also making, on average, 35,000 decisions a day. You make a decision, consciously or subconsciously, about every 2 seconds of your day. That's how much your brain is just like information is being thrown at it all the time. Our brain, what you just kind of brought up is this cougar coming out at you thing. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. But our brain is always looking for information that helps us survive and thrive. It wants to keep us alive, and it's always scanning our environment for information that keeps us helps us survive and thrive. Well, if we are receiving 3,000 to 5,000 commercial messages a day and having information thrown at us where we have to make 35,000 decisions a day, our brain doesn't actually have the capacity to go to cognitively and consciously make all of those decisions and think through all of those things. So what our brain is doing is getting rid of and ignoring information that doesn't directly contribute to our survival and thriving. Very quick example of this is if you and I were in a stadium together, a football stadium, baseball stadium, I could get on a microphone and I could say, hey, how many people here know how many chairs are in this stadium? And I mean, maybe the person who owns it or works there could raise their hand and nobody else would. But if I said, how many people here know where the exits are? Every single person would raise their hand. If I said, how many people in here know where the food is? Every single person would raise their hand. And I bet if I said how many people know where the bathrooms are, 95% of the people would raise their hand. Because our brain just clocks the information that we know we need to remember that contributes to our survival and thriving. We need to know where the exits are. We don't need to know how many chairs are in that stadium. We don't need to know how much lights are there. All that information is available to us at any given moment. But we don't need We basically, what we're doing in that moment is figuring out what is the story I need to remember to keep myself alive if there's an emergency. That's all happening subconsciously, but the details that don't matter are not a part of the story I need to remember. They're out. What that means for our messaging is that when we are telling stories with our messaging and marketing, it has to always be focused on our customer survival and thriving. They have to be able to see themselves in the story we're telling, and it has to be about them. The second thing our brain is doing to try to keep us alive, besides running our organs and all that, is that our brain is trying to conserve calories. So at any given moment in your brain, you have a limited number of calories that your brain is willing to dedicate to thinking and processing information. And they're limited. So you basically have about an hour to an hour and a half at any given moment of deep thinking calories available to you. After that, your brain actually stops thinking. It really will stop thinking. The average person daydreams 30% of their day. That's a survival mechanism. Because the reason why that is what we brought up earlier, we said with the cougar, right? In that, if I'm out of calories, if I've spent too much time processing information and thinking through too many things, and a cougar does jump out at me, I'm going to die, right? Because I don't have enough calories left to escape that. So our brain is going, don't think about this thing. Save those calories for something that's important. So what that also means, again, for our messaging and marketing, is the stories we have to tell cannot confuse people or cause them to think, because their brain, again, is designed to stop paying attention. Remember, 35,000 decisions, 3,000 to 5,000 commercial messages. We only have enough space to give room in our brain and calories to the stories that contribute to our survival and thriving. So what that means for companies is, if your message is not clear and people cannot see, clear means they don't have to burn any calories to understand it, and it's not done in such a way that shows people that how you can contribute to their survival and thriving, their brains literally are designed to tune you out. So what story does, when we talk about story, what we're not talking about is telling a story that makes people laugh or makes people cry. We're talking about taking all the information that's available about our product, our service, our company, and organizing it in a story formula that shows very quickly how your customers can survive and thrive using your product, and does it in such a way that they don't have to burn any calories to understand.
You're speaking to this thing where it's like, I can be super nondescript and say almost nothing and I'll lose people because there's not enough information. I can go way too far with it and then lose them that way too. But there's this like, there's this middle ground where it's like, I get right where it's like, this is exactly what my brain needs to know, no more, no less. And let's be on that threshold.
Yes. Because if you say like, let's say you are a contractor, a cement contractor, and somebody goes, what do you do? And you say, I help people fulfill their dream. Well, it's too vague. And so what's that is making me do right there. The weird part is, if it's too vague, you're making me burn too many calories. In your brain, you're like, people have dream houses, they have dream landscape, they have dream this, and I'm going to help them fulfill those dreams. They don't know what you mean. That's too vague. But also, if you come in and you start talking about, somebody goes, what do you do? And you go, well, it's kind of complicated. And then you start actually explaining.
Nerd out on all the
that you use. The mix, how the mix in the cement that you're using is very special, and how the difference in the way that you dry concrete is different than somebody else. And like, now you're causing them to burn too many calories, and they have no idea how it contributes to their survival and thriving, and they're out as well. So you're dead on when, if you're too vague, you're actually causing people to think too hard. And if you're too detailed, you're actually causing people to think too hard. That's what we do at StoryBrand is we say, here's how story works. Here's the formula that all good stories are based on. And you need to hit these elements of story in order to make it make sense for your customer.
Let's do this. Your family has a concrete business that you've probably put some thought into this around, I imagine. Yeah, they're lucky to have you. Let's go through these principles and let's talk about it in context to that exact family business and what kind of created it, and each step, how kind of each step looks. And I think for a lot of us listening, that'll give us like context to our industry, which would be unreal.
Yep.
You good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, let me do high level first of how story works, and then we'll kind of go into this a little bit. So really, there are seven elements of every good story. And specifically, what I'm going to kind of lean into here is screenwriting. So, because we all understand movies and how they work. And in reality, all movies are pretty much the exact same movie. You're going to see the same points hit in every movie. And at a very high level, there are really seven of them. That's it. I mean, if we're really getting nitty gritty, there's a lot more. But in its most basic form, there are seven elements. These are those elements. The first is there is a character who wants something. This gets into the thing that we were just talking about of it can't be too vague and it can't be too complicated. We know Jason Bourne wants to know his identity. That's what the movie's about. Luke Skywalker wants to become a Jedi. Katniss wants to win the Hunger Games. Like, it's just very, very, very clear, very early on, what the hero wants. That sets up the story. That basically says, what is this story about? So step one, a character needs to want something. Step two, that character has to encounter a problem. And this is always, the story does not get interesting until the character encounters a problem. The, you know, Luke Skywalker wants to become a Jedi, but there's a Death Star that's destroying planets. And Katniss wants to win the Hunger Games, but she needs to be likable. You know, there's all these things that there's something that's getting in the way of what the hero wants. And this is really the hook of the story. This makes the story interesting. If the story is about, like, two people just walking around London talking about life, very boring story. Something there, they need to be walking around London and then one of them gets kidnapped. Or they're walking around London and all of a sudden a bomb, they find out a bomb's going off and they're the only people that can fix it. Something interesting has to make it hook the audience. Then step three is the hero then has to meet a guide. They have to, the audience knows intrinsically that the hero can't overcome this problem on their own, or otherwise they wouldn't really, it's not really a story. The story would be over very quickly. So they need somebody who's older, wiser to come along and help them win the day. So this is Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. This is Yoda in Star Wars. This is Haymitch in Hunger Games. There's always a coach, a wise sage who comes alongside and helps the hero win. Then step four is that guide gives the hero a plan. There's always something that they say, you'll hear this in almost every movie, what's the plan, or here's the plan. It goes right into it. A very simple, clear path forward for the hero to win. Step five is then there is a moment that the hero is called to action. There's usually a countdown clock, like a bomb is going to go off or a timer that's going to force the hero to act. And it's very clear what they need to do. They need to cut this wire. They need to find their daughter before they disappear. They need to deliver the money before 24 hours. It's very, very clear what the hero has to do. Then the last two, six and seven, is that what has been foreshadowed throughout the story is either success or failure. What is at stake in the story? Something has to be able to be won or lost. So we're rooting for a happy ending and we're trying to avoid the pain. So the failure in a lot of movies is everybody dies. I mean, that's just kind of like the biggest stakes are the whole world is destroyed. The positive stakes are that the hero wins the day, everybody lives happily ever after, and both of those things have been foreshadowed. So those are the seven elements that are part of every good story. A character who wants something, who encounters a problem, who meets a guide, gives them a plan, calls them to action that results in success and failure. So in now marketing, so that's screenwriting. But in marketing, what then we need to do is understand how do we invite our customers into a story? Because that's really what this is about, going back to what I mentioned about narrative transportation. People have to see themselves in the story for it to have influence over their thoughts and actions. They can't see themselves in the story. It doesn't matter. So like I can look at a Gucci bag and go, not my story. It's a beautiful story, but it's not mine. I don't see myself in there. It does not cause me to go buy that bag. So we have to be able to let our customers see themselves. So now let's place it in this context of the contractor. So the first thing we have to understand is we have to establish very clearly what our customer wants. So in my family's case, if I'm going to work with a company, what I would sit down with them and go, I would ask a bunch of questions, but really the question I'm trying to get them to answer is, how do we clearly answer this question? What does your customer want? That's it. That's simple. And so in my family's in my family's business, it really is a beautiful driveway. That's pretty much it. It's just a beautiful driveway without cracks. If you want to go a little bit further, a beautiful driveway without cracks. Done. What that then looks like is, so we put that down in the story, and I'll talk about application in a second, but we just write that down. What does my customer want? They want beautiful driveway without cracks. Now, here's then where we try to make the story a little more interesting. So what is the problem that they're experiencing that gets in the way of them getting that? And this is where you get to decide how you want to brand yourself in the market. So you could say, I know my customer wants a beautiful driveway without cracks. The problem is, and then just finish that sentence. And you can finish it a bunch of different ways. The problem is, if you want to go on price, you could say the problem is driveways are incredibly expensive. And just then you're going to, if you do that, then really you have to become a cheap brand. But if you can then say the problem is, what were you going to say? I can see you're going to say something.
I have a question around this, around what I would call, like, I come from the sales world. So I think about like surface level needs versus true customer needs. It's true, like where the emotion, where the story actually lies often. And I think about this one. I want to give you an interesting concept, because I've asked a few people around this that know language, and I've not yet actually got a proper good answer, because I don't even know. But is there a way to communicate some of these things where you're speaking not to like what the surface level stuff is, but where you're getting to the inner side of it? And I want to give you an example of this. You know, when like you've eaten too much and you're driving home and you can feel your belly on your seatbelt rubbing, and you're like, oh God, like I got to fix this. Can you imagine if there's a sign on the highway that didn't say lose weight now? It said, is your seatbelt rubbing on your belly? Call us now, right? You're getting not just, you're getting into something where it's like, it's what everybody thinks about all the time, but it's probably never actually vocalized. And you get into a much more like personal space with that person through your messaging. Can you speak to that at all? I don't know. I just.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple different, you know, the hard part is there. Well, let me answer it a little bit different way first.
Sure.
Just to kind of, one of the things I didn't get into in story is that there's actually multiple levels of problem. So in a movie, there's actually external, there's internal, and there's philosophical. External is the physical problem that the hero has to overcome. So a meteor's coming to Earth to destroy it, and we need to drill into it and put a nuclear bomb so we explode it. Mm-hmm. Armageddon, right? that's the plot line for Armageddon. So the physical external problem is the meteor. However, what really is driving the movie has nothing to do with it could be anything. The internal problem is being kind of manifested through this situation is the people who have to go up and destroy the meteor are drillers, not astronauts, and they wonder if they have what it takes. And so really the movie is about them kind of discovering that they do or don't have what it takes. That's called the internal problem. And then philosophical, there it comes down to a couple different things. Like, it's kind of like blue collar versus white collar in this situation. Like, oh, they're not smart enough, but really in reality, street smarts are better than NASA smarts in the end. And that's a philosophical. And you can really address any of those levels of problem in your marketing. And some of the ways you can do it in language is through questions or statements, right? So the question of, does your belly rub? That's a question. Or just saying, stop letting your belly rub against the seatbelt. You can kind of create a different version of that. But really what you're tapping into is an external or internal or philosophical problem that may not be what the customer, what maybe other people are marketing. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm wondering, is one more powerful than the other? And for the sake of people listening, should we be just, we should be going with external, which is kind of the example you had given with the crack in the driveway. Should we be going for internal? Should we be going for philosophical? How hard do we want to make this for ourselves, I guess, is a good question too. But like, what would you recommend for the average person listening?
You want to do both. to be very honest. And it's not necessarily a matter of which one you go into harder or not. The way that I like to talk about it is external is definitely about the clarity piece. So external brings in the clarity. If you are not saying that you solve, like if you are Excedrin and you don't say you solve headaches, nobody's going to buy from you. You can't just say, we make you feel better.
It's too ethereal. It's not descriptive enough. On that little chart, it's not there enough.
Got to get right in there, right? So the external is really about clarity, but the internal is what drives a lot of buying power. And I'll give you an example. If I'm looking out my window right now and my yard is outside, and if my yard is overgrown, that's an external problem. However, if I am not frustrated, overwhelmed, confused, embarrassed by that, I'm not paying anybody to fix it. I'm just like, look at, isn't that crazy? My weeds are taller than me. That's an external problem. I make buying decisions to solve an internal. So a lot of times we want to make sure that those two things are connected. So in the case of, the external problem of buying, getting a driveway, that's the external. But what really are people worried about in this? It's a big expense that they don't know, if they're going to get value out of it in their home. They're insecure about it. They don't know the whole process that goes into it. So they're not quite sure who to trust. Well, if you can solve those internal problems, everybody in your competitive market can solve the driveway. Now, some of them, you may be better at creating a driveway, like a prettier driveway, a more smooth driveway, a specialty driveway, whatever. But pretty much probably everybody in your market can solve the driveway problem. When you can lean into also solving the trust issue and their insecurity issue, you're going to be able to elevate your brand in a whole new way.
You bring it to an emotional level versus mm-hmm. just a transactional level.
Yep, exactly.
This is great. So I'm sorry I paused this on these first two points, but this like the main character who has one thing. It's like there's an external thing and there's probably an internal thing. And if you can touch on both and then they have a problem that's external and then you can tie it to the internal, your messaging is going to be amplified and it's going to be more impactful, is it not? Yes, that's what we're saying.
Yeah. So and let's just, to make it really simple, we'll just kind of go in this way. Like, so what does the character want? They want a great looking driveway that's going to last. That's basically like, if we're just going with the straight clarity, that's what they want. And then we say, because the problem is, and we can just straight address that their driveway's cracked or it's outdated and it's bringing down the value of their home. That's it. Just kind of hit that external. But internally, they're overwhelmed because they don't know who to trust, right? And because it's such an important investment. So just kind of naming those, and when we're creating what we call a brand script in this case, we're just answering those questions and putting down talking points. So what does the character want? A beautiful driveway is built to last, because the external problem is it's their driveway is cracked and they need it's bringing down their value of their home. And internally, they're not sure or insecure about who they could trust. Then what happens is we actually then come in as the guide. And this is really the biggest shift in the story brand framework, is we are the guide in the story, not the hero. Your company is not the hero of the story. Your customer is. And this is really, really key to understand, because when I come in and immediately start talking about myself and about my product and about what I can do, in reality, I'm telling my story. And what's happening then is if my customer is living their own story and I'm telling them my story, we're now in competing stories. One of us has got to win and one of us has got to lose, which in a transactional context means I've got to make more money off of you and you've got to figure out, my customer, how to get a better deal. So it really becomes transactional and it becomes about the money and who's going to win or lose on the price. But when you can position yourself as a guide in your customer story, then you're really not negotiating on price. Yes, price is still important, but you're negotiating on helping them win. Who is the best person to help them win? And you are positioning yourself to be able to do that. And what do they want to win? They want a beautiful driveway that's built to last and they're really confident about it. That's ultimately what we're overcoming for them. So as a guide, what you do when you're allowed to talk about yourself, but only in the context of your customer story. And the way you do that is two ways: empathy and authority. Empathy is, I understand your problems. That's it. Basically, like, I get it. I understand what you're going through. So the guide empathy, it's like, I know how frustrating it is to deal with a crumbling driveway. And I know even more so how incredibly frustrating it is to hire somebody who doesn't deliver on what they promised. That's empathy. And I've just been empathetic back to the two problems that we named earlier.
I get you. I get you. I understand. You're not agreeing or disagreeing, but you're saying, I get you.
100%. And you're not even villainizing anybody. You know, you don't have to go after other contractors. It's just like, I get it. I get it that this has happened. And then the second part, authority, is I got you. So empathy and authority really is, I get you and I got you. And I got you means that you are just going to show proof, essentially, that you've solved this for other people. So testimonies, number of years you've been doing this, number of driveways you built, before and after pictures, things like that. That's all you're doing. So you create those talking points. Then you give your customer a plan. The plan is, what are the steps they need to take to do business with you? Because they're probably, you know, in this context, like going, all right, so this is a big job. It's very expensive. How is this going to work? And you can say it a couple different ways. Well, the first thing we're going to do is schedule a free estimate. Then I'm going to give you a clear quote and timeline. And then you're going to love your driveway and it's going to last for decades. And that's it. This is how it's going to work. Clear quote, you know, schedule a free estimate, clear quote, and then you're going to enjoy your driveway.
This is important, actually. And what you're talking about is actually to have like simple, like three-step process. Should it be seven steps? It can be seven, or is it it needs to be three?
No, it needs to be three for multiple reasons. But the biggest thing is kind of what I was going back to earlier, is that you don't want to cause people to think. You want to give them a three-step process. Our brain actually memorizes things in what's called the rule of threes. So like we use three to memorize things all the time. We don't even think about it. But like if you have an emergency, you're supposed to dial 911. That's intentional. It's three numbers. They didn't say dial 28. It's 911.
And people are going to die if it's six numbers.
We're like, why not just dial zero, or why not just dial 28? No, it really has to be the way that our brain memorizes things is in threes. When you catch on fire, you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. We know that since we were kids. Like, I could still give you my home phone number from my childhood, because our phone numbers are actually designed to help them memorize easier in threes. So it's area code, city code, personal code. So my home phone number from when I was a kid was 503-838-6437. That I still know that. And probably most of us remember our home phones from our childhood, because it's actually three numbers we're memorizing. So there's a lot of other research behind it, but basically you want to give, even if your process involves 20 steps, and part of what you've done in the past is show people how valuable you are to them by telling them you do 20 steps, don't do that. You can group those into like phases. So here's phase one, phase two, phase three, but really just keep it simple. Your plan is schedule an estimate, get a clear quote, and enjoy your driveway. And then you want to have a clear call to action. Very clear. Don't on your website or in emails say, if you have any questions, reach out, or if you want to learn more. Nope. Book a free estimate. That's it. Schedule a call. We want something very, very clear, very obvious for customers, an action that a customer should take in order to take the next step to buy your product. Make it clear, make it obvious. And then you want to basically put stakes in the story. So you want to add the failure and success. So what happens if they don't replace their driveway, or if they don't use you? That's kind of what you want to point out, is basically what are the consequences of not doing the work. That your driveway could get worse. It's going to cost you more in the long run. If you hire the wrong contractor, you're not going to be sure of how it's all going to go. You may not get your driveway on time. You're just kind of dropping in a little bit of failure. You don't need a lot of this, but there has to be some negative stakes in the story. And then the positive stakes is ultimately, what does their life look like once they hire you? It's their driveway boosts their home value. They have an incredibly looking driveway. They have peace of mind that it's done right. You can kind of then list out the successes. So that is what we would consider a complete brand script. And somebody on here might say, as you're listening, well, that feels fairly generic. Maybe everybody can say that. A couple of things I would say to that. One, you want to say it clearer than anybody else. Clarity is going to win is the first thing. Making it easy and clear for your customer to do business with you, that will give you an advantage in the marketplace. And the other thing is once you have this basic clarity, then you can kind of play with it a little bit and maybe you solve the problem differently than some of your competitors. Then the problem that you bring up might be just a little bit different than your competitors. The problem is people aren't using the right cement mix. The problem is that they actually, you know, yes, people are great at pouring, but they're not great at the design. They don't know the community well and how the ground is going to shift. I don't know, you know, how it's going to work, but you can kind of pick a specific problem that you maybe solve or do it differently, and you can identify that. But of everything, really what you need is just that real quick, tight clarity. The clear message, clarity is going to be clever and cute every day of the week.
Can I try one? I just wrote this down while we were talking. Can I just give you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can grade me on this. Let's just use this concrete example. So basically it's like so we've got the main character who wants one thing. I want curb appeal to match my home. And my driveway is kicking its butt because it's cracked and it looks terrible compared to all the money I put into my home.
So wait, hold on. So curb appeal that matches my home. That's a great line, but whenever I'm looking at somebody in this space, I go in and play dumb. So you say curb appeal that matches my home, mm-hmm. I go, oh, so you do landscaping.
Right.
Right. Because you didn't you allowed me to burn too many calories. So you want to say a driveway that offers curb appeal that matches my home.
Yeah.
Or driveway and sidewalks or a garage or, you know, you kind of want to name what it is that you actually are offering. And somebody says, well, we do all of those. Then you want to find a way to put under an umbrella of what do we offer? Cement work that matches the curb appeal of my home.
It's,
you know, something like that, or elevate your home. Elevate the curb appeal of your home with a new driveway and sidewalk or something, you know, but you want to name that, because if you don't, then again, it feels dumb because somebody, if they're coming to your website, then they probably are looking for a cement contractor. But if you don't say it, you're still causing them to burn too many calories, because in that moment they go, wait, do they also do landscaping? I don't need landscaping. And then you're causing them to think.
I see this all the time with my brand and with our customers' brands. It's like we assume too much because we're too close to the problem ourselves. We just assume well, they must get it. But you're right. I didn't even in this example nail it. And so, okay, so we've got the main character wants one thing. They want a better driveway to increase curb appeal to match their home. Fair? Did I do that okay? Okay.
Yep.
Now we've got a problem that's getting in the way. I don't want a construction site in the front of my home. It's like sick and tired of, or is that something along the way, something like that? Or how would that look? I don't want a construction site for the next, whatever, in front of my home.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
The character meets a guide. We get it. We've been there ourselves and we've done this thousands of times.
Yep.
Is that kind of correct? Okay.
That's its most basic version. Playing that out then on a website, you don't want to just say we've done it thousands, but show, so you'd have some testimonies or something like that. But yep.
Perfect. I wrote this in 3 seconds, so we got to.
I am tearing it apart. We are tearing it apart.
The guide gives a plan. We will come and do a quote, have our crews there within 1 week and have them out within 2 days. And then three steps. Come get the
now,
quote.
Yes. Go finish it. Come get a quote.
Come get a quote. We will do the work. And we'll be in, you'll have your finished product.
So here's something that I really loved about that, specifically when you're we'll be out within 2 weeks, is because the problem that you mentioned was that the construction site is always there and I don't want it there. So in your plan, what you showed them is you're actually solving that problem. So the example that I gave of like get a free quote, you know, then we give or get an estimate, we deliver the quote and we deliver the driveway. That's just kind of for a general driveway. But when you bring up the problem, this is the good, this, you're making a really good point here. The way that you solve it differently basically is with like speed and cleanliness. So you want to say like speed and cleanliness in your plan, like show them that. It's like when you give you the quote, two, we show up and make sure that every day you might even go a little bit further and say every day when we leave, we make sure that it doesn't look like construction is happening. Step two is we're out within 2 weeks, you know, so it's not that you don't deal with it forever. Yep.
Okay.
That's great.
Call to action, book an estimate today. Straightforward, to the point, not like learn more, right? And then final thing, just like the happy ending, bring your curb appeal back to life or bring your house back to the number one in the neighborhood. Something along those lines.
And what I would do if I'm creating that is then I actually play that out on multiple levels. So what happens almost immediately when their problems are solved? So if you said the problem was the construction site's in there, it's probably frustrating, it's embarrassing, all of that. Then what you want to say is immediately, like, you're not frustrated with the process. You get it done quickly. So those are the immediates, which then means what? Then I kind of go, that's short term, then long term, which means you're going to be able to enjoy your driveway. You're going to be proud of your home. And then even longer term successes, your home's going to be worth more. It's going to last, you know, your kids are going to bring their grandkids to play on this. And you kind of go like short term, medium, and long for success. And I like to make a list of like 6 or 7 things to kind of give me some spark for copy later. The failure section is just what happens if they don't. And the what happens if they don't is just basically like, one, the process might be a little frustrating. You're not going to get the driveway that you want, and it's not really going to match the curb appeal of your home. And we don't do a ton of it. We can't go heavy with failure. We have to keep it pretty short and light, because if you get too much, you're actually going to almost become manipulative. Because you would say, like, if we're really going hard with the failure, it's like, well, one, you don't get the driveway that you want, which then means like your kids are going to trip over the cracks and break their neck. And also you're going to get sued by the neighbors and you're going to lose your home. Like, we can't go that
Holy
far.
Holy cow, Dr. JJ. You know what I think of when you say that? I think of those old commercials with the black and white version of the product. And it's like, sick of your sweeper, whatever. It's like, it just never work. And they're just like, this is cheesy. This is like, you've lost me.
Exactly. And when you go too far, people don't want to pay attention and they can feel it being manipulative. So keep it light, but the stake has to be there. You know, think in terms of a movie. If Tom Cruise is running through an airport to disarm a bomb and we find out that bomb is full of baby powder, he's done running and the movie doesn't hold us any longer. There's no more tension in that story. So we have to put some stakes there to say basically like, and again, you don't need to be manipulative, but just a little bit like, hey, you're going to continue to be frustrated and overwhelmed and you're not going to get the home you want.
Right.
Simple. Not on and on and on, but a little bit is important for the story to be memorable and for it to make sense in their brains. So yeah, so what you just did is what we call creating a brand script. It's sitting down and answering the questions and filling out those different elements of the story. Then what you would do is take that piece of paper, take what you just created, and then begin creating your website, making sure that those pieces, you might not say that exact sentence you put, but does the website tell that story all the way down? Do we have on there the clarity of what the customer wants? Have we hooked them with a problem? Have we showed them our plan? Do we have a section for being the guide with empathy and authority? Is our call to action all the way down our page? And have we cast a vision of success and failure? And then when you're creating emails and writing emails, do we tell that story throughout? On social media, have we told that story throughout? Everything you do needs to be grounded in this consistent message all the way through.
Well, while we're talking about this, there's one thing that I was really thinking about, which was that like I can sit down and assume all of this as the owner of a business, or I can go to my customer. Is there any just tricks to like getting that from your customer in the best way possible? Because I feel like they have all the answers. Like I could assume, but I'm going to get it wrong.
Especially when I'm on a sales call, I have them Let's talk very specifically sales calls. Well, let me back up. There's two different ways to approach this, right? So we have the marketing and messaging, which is really the permanent stuff that sits on your website, the emails that are kind of constantly going out. That you want a pretty consistent message, right? It's just kind of what is your brand message. Then there's also like how to think when you're getting on a sales call. When you get on a sales call, your job is to immediately help get the answers to these questions from somebody on a sales call. What is it that made you reach out to us? What didn't work before? What are you most worried about? You're just getting that from them. And even saying things like, if we worked together, what does success look like for you at the end of this? What makes this whole project a home run? They're going to give you, and what's going to make it like, what are you going to be most disappointed in if this goes wrong? And you're just kind of asking those questions and they're giving it to you. And then on that sales call, you're basically just repeating it back to them in the same form we just did. So look, we know you're looking for a new driveway, but the problem is you're worried about this, this, and this. And they just told you that. We get that. We've actually helped 1,000 people overcome this. It's pretty simple how we do it. This, this, this. So we make sure that we don't do those mistakes you just mentioned. It's actually really easy to get started. We can come out and give you a quote next Tuesday. And you're going to get the success you just told me you wanted, and you're going to avoid the failure you just told me you were worried about. So you're just kind of doing that real live in person. But when you're talking about the marketing, it is that. Going to your favorite types of customers, the people who, and I don't mean like the people that you loved working with and are best friends with. I mean like that look like the type of people who you, like if they wanted a driveway and a tennis court and a, you know, like you're like, that's the people I want. Go to them and say, what made you reach out to us? What were your biggest concerns when you were reaching out to us? What was life like before you reached out to us? How would you say we helped you? What was the best thing we did for you in the process? And how would you describe life after? You know, you're just kind of getting them to fill in these blanks for you. And then you can take that information and kind of put it all together. One thing I would say, I don't often do like really in-depth customer surveys, because what that can do in many ways is make us doubt our message going 500. And we can go, well, there was Stan over there and he didn't actually even want a driveway. He wanted mailboxes that we went around at his apartment complexes. And we want Stan. Stan was a great, he made us a lot of money. And I'm like, but how many more stands are out there like that? And they're like, well, there's only two other people that would hire us to do that. Well, then we're not making our message about Stan. We're making it about the biggest group of people that we have the best opportunity to make money on. And we're trying to create an umbrella message that invites all of those people in. That's really and a lot of times when you do too much customer survey and too much data, you get pulled out by these little one-offs. You go, yeah, but we'd miss Stan. You go, I'm okay missing a Stan if we get 27 Jeffs, you know? And it's like, so you're kind of, I like surveys, but I like to go after the people that we want to work with. And I like to do it in a way that we still are crafting the story, because this is the other thing with this is you're not reflecting your customer story back to them. You're inviting customers into a story that they get to be the hero of. So you actually are the architect of this story.
This is amazing. And actually, there's so much in here. I think we're going to need some stuff to get. Anyway, we will have a link in the description, right, JJ, for some people to take some stuff off this. So
yeah.
I'll put that in later. But I want to ask another question here before we go and end this. We go and do this. And our brand has done this too. And we've made mistakes on this along the way. We don't get it right perfectly the first time. What are the, like, I imagine, I don't know, you tell me, how many people have you done this for? And how many, like, brands have you seen this implemented into for StoryBrand? Just give me a number.
I mean, honestly, thousands.
Thousands.
Thousands, yeah.
What are the most common mistakes you see brands do when they start to do this and put StoryBrand into their marketing messaging?
The biggest thing is that they don't think it's enough, to be honest. And they try to then add too much. The stuff that I'm talking about here, and when we're talking about your website or your elevator pitch, what we're really talking about is first date building curiosity kind of language, right? Like, think about, you know, I don't know if you're married, but when you were first going on dates, and or back when you were dating, you know, it was like the dates were a bit more like, oh my gosh, you like chocolate? I like chocolate too. We're perfect for each other. You know, it was like naive. That kind of level, you know, or it's like, oh, you went to Paris? I like Paris too. Let's talk. I mean, it's just that basic level. It's not, you don't go on that first date and go, all right, so here's my credit score. What's yours? Here's my childhood trauma. Here's all the things that are deal breakers for me. How many children do you want? Very rarely does that happen on a first date. That's date two, three, you start learning more about each other. But if you can't get past that first date, it doesn't go anywhere. So when we're talking about the simplicity of the story is designed to connect with their brain in a way that shows you how this story is for them. You can contribute to giving them what they want. So that's about their survival and thriving, and they don't have to burn any calories. Once they're in a meeting with you, or once they've like in conversations on a phone call, or you're going out there and you're at the site and you're walking through all the pieces, you can get a little more complicated there and you can get a little bit more in depth and offer a bit more. But in the beginning, you have to keep it simple. There's a thing called Lee Lefevre. He's an author who writes about what's called the curse of knowledge. And he would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, knowledge about our product and service, we as business owners live in about that 9 or 10 space. And we know we have to simplify it down. And typically, we simplify it down to about a 5 or a 6. In reality, people make buying decisions between 1 and 2. Wow. You need to keep it that simple. So the biggest mistake I would say is people start simple and then they go, oh, this is too simple. It doesn't differentiate us enough in the market. It's, we need to tell more and more. And I go, no, stop. Simple. Keep it simple.
So if we're creating a movie, we're creating like a Disney movie that my kids would watch. We're not creating Inception or Severance. I don't know if you've seen that TV show.
Yeah.
We're not creating those. We're going to lose people. There's a barometer, and it's actually the simplicity is right down at the baseline.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing is like, I love independent films, but they don't make any money because they're complicated and they're nuanced and they're beautiful art. You can choose to make great art, or you can choose to be Marvel. And Marvel's going to make billions. And if you want it to be accessible, you want to reach more people, you want that simplicity. If you really do want to create art, if you are an artist who wants to create art and only wants to reach a few tiny people who appreciate art, great. Be complicated, be artful. But reality is, independent films do not make money. The films that make money are Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and all of those follow this formula.
I could see how this would be prevalent in marketing teams that take on this concept with a bunch of creatives that want to go and really, and that's what fulfills them, is to be super creative with this process, right? And then they overdo it. Yeah.
100%.
Okay. One other question, and we'll close this out. The opposite side of this, so people do implement, you've seen thousands of people do this. What are like signs or indicators that you've got it right, that the messaging is working? And you're like, okay, we've implemented this now. And I'm like, I'm seeing it work.
Yeah. Sales. I mean, plain and simple, is that when I'm working with a company, I genuinely am looking at the bottom line. And if it's not making a difference, now it might not make immediately, especially when you're talking website and SEO and all of the nuances of Google Ads and everything you have to kind of build into the systems now, it may not, you know, instantly this month start doing it. But you should start, when you start using this message in public, it should start you should start seeing light bulbs come on a little bit more. When you're on sales calls, you should see sales close more. Ultimately, it should make a difference in the leads that are coming in the sales you're closing, and the emails rate, open rate, and click through on your emails. And I say that also because here's the big thing for people a lot too is, they think it will tomorrow make that difference. And I promise it will. Like if you're at a restaurant and somebody says, what do you do? And you start answering it in using a story formula, you're going to see a difference. Emails, websites, it takes a little bit longer. But watch, observe, and tweak. One of the things that we say at StoryBrand is we never laminate our brand scripts because things change. Even, you know, we've experienced such a swing over the past even 5 years. The messaging you were using pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic, or during pandemic versus post-pandemic versus now 5 years from pandemic, probably different, right? Like in pandemic, it was love the home you're in, right? If you're a construction person, you could make a lot of money off of, hey, you're stuck in your home every day. It's time for you to love the home you're in. Now, as like sales, the housing market is very weird. It's you got to stand out in order to get the price that you want for your home when you're going to sell it. It's a different message. Same company could use both of those messages 3 years apart. Don't be afraid. Don't be so precious about your branding. Well, branding is one thing. Keep your logo, keep your tagline. I don't care about those. Your messaging and your marketing, don't be so precious about it that you're not willing to tweak and change as the process goes. But let it ride. Survey, see what kind, not survey, but talk to your customers, see what kind of reactions you're getting, and then tweak it a little bit. And don't be afraid. It doesn't need to be precious.
Now, we've talked about one other thing before we started this was to give everybody a way to do this in an elevator pitch format, like a simple, which I think is so important because that's where it starts. It's like, can you just actually say what you do in a sentence or two or less, right? So can you explain what that looks like, what that is? And then we'll put a link in the description so everyone can download it and they can kind of do like mini StoryBrand, right? They can get something started.
Exactly. So what we create in elevator pitches is basically a short story. So I just gave you kind of a little bit longer version with 7 different elements. But when somebody asks you, what do you do? Or tell me about your construction business. What you shouldn't do is start with the answer. This is kind of the thing. What you want to think of is I'm going to try to invite this person into a story that they are the hero of. So the way you do that is not by saying I'm a cement contractor or I pour driveways. What you start with is the problem. You actually start with the problem your customer's experiencing. So you say, a lot of people, once they've been in their home for a while, their driveway starts to fall apart. And what that does is actually lower the value of their home. So just very simple. Or a lot of people have been living in their home so long and they just are looking at their home and going, if I just had this, it would make it better. You know. So you're just naming the problem. And then you say, at Peterson Cement, we come in and can pour the driveway in 2 days so that you, and then we give our solution. So name the problem, then give the solution. And then we wrap the story with our customer success so that they love their home. I mean, just almost that simple. So going into like, if I was taking the example we used earlier and we're talking about like the trust and curb appeal for the company, if I said, most homeowners are tired of cracked and crumbling driveway. Most homeowners are tired of cracked and crumbling driveways. That's the problem. Then we offer our solution. We build great looking driveways.
3 days or less, whatever.
And then so your home looks better and your investment lasts. That's it. Or if we're going in the budget, we might say something like replacing a driveway feels overwhelming and expensive. We make the process simple and affordable with quality that lasts so that you get peace of mind that you're in a driveway you're proud of. Problem, solution, results. And that what that does is it positions everything you're about to say about your company in a way that shows them this is about their story and solving their problem. When you start with you, you're making yourself the hero of the story. When you start with your customer's problem, you're making them the hero. So it's problem, solution, results. So what we're going to give everybody is just kind of a little worksheet that shows that and gives an example to really just kind of say, this is how to do it. It's a reminder because the truth is that is not an easy thing to do on a, it's not natural. Naturally, when somebody goes, what do? You want to say, well, I'm a cement contractor. Don't answer that. Answer it in this way. If you want more customers, answer it in a way that invites your customer into a story they're the hero of. A lot of homeowners are tired of crumbling and cracked driveways. We come in and provide a durable and beautiful solution so that they can love their home and be confident it'll last. Problem, solution, results. then if their driveway isn't crumbling and cracked, they probably know somebody who is, and they can give them your name.
Simple, like call to action from a podcast, right? Like we did 1 hour. If you guys are listening, here's a simple little like elevator pitch you can work on for your own organization. I know so many people mess this up. I've tried for 10 years to have a way to describe Contractor Revolution Breakthrough Academy in a simple form. I will sit down and do this, Dr. Dushy, because we still need some work on this. But if you're listening at this point, I would definitely get it. It's down in the description. Dr. Dushy, thank you. You're a busy man. You run an amazing brand. You've influenced so many companies, and our team raves about you. I'm sure a lot of people listening know a little bit about who you guys are and what you guys do. So thank you for just being on the show with us. There's so much anyways, there's so many things I can get into, but like, I love this concept of like, you're the guide, not the hero. If there's anything I took away from today, and even just going through this process to get ready for you, I was like, right, this is where a lot of us make a big mistake. And then just overall, like the step-by-step, keep it simple. Was it KISS principle? Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Fair enough. Good. Okay. Anything else you want to say? Any other thoughts for everyone?
No, I mean, I'm just, first of all, thank you for having me. I mean, I'm very honored to be on the podcast. And, you know, like I said, I have a heart for the people that you are working with because they are my people. it is my people. And I guess I would just, you know, kind of leave with a little bit of a toast to your listeners, to them, that I would say, you know, may you always find the words to invite customers into a beautiful story. May you always have the courage to call them to action because you know there's a better life for them on the other side. And may you always play the guide and never the hero. And may you be richly rewarded because of it. Cheers to you and inviting customers into a beautiful story.
Cheers. With my water bottle. There we go. Cool, man. Awesome. Okay, well, let's make it a wrap. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Dr. JJ, thanks again. Everyone have a good night. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.